stewardship is such an important component of the Christian life that I committed a few years ago to addressing it at least once a year. And so you might be thinking, no way, it's been a year since we did that. Wasn't it just like 3 or 4 weeks ago? But I was concerned, so I looked, I checked. And last October 20th, today's the 19th, last October 20th, 1 year ago, we started a brief stewardship series. So we're good. We're fine. Those of you who've been around for a while have heard me speak on stewardship many times. But much of what we hear, we forget. Have you noticed that? A lot of things we hear, we forget. And many things that we've learned, we don't consistently apply. So it's always valuable to address stewardship, no matter how many times we've done it before. So today I'd like to give an overview of the three key areas of stewardship, and then next week develop them a little, give some more detail, and look at some practical application of them. Let's pray as we do this together. Our Father, we thank you for the call you have extended to every true believer to be a steward, to manage what you have entrusted to our care. We want to do that well. We don't just want to be stewards. We want to be good stewards, effective ones that advance your cause and purposes. So as we take a couple of weeks to look at this topic, we pray that you'd guide our time, help us to understand what stewardship is all about, and motivate us, we pray, to do it well. We thank you for the time, and we pray that it will be fruitful to that end, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are three areas of stewardship that we must understand and apply if we're going to be good stewards. Remember, I've said many, many times, and I say it now, that all true believers are stewards by virtue of adoption into God's family. So we don't really have the choice of whether we're going to be a steward or not. We are, if we're Christians. But we do have the choice of whether we're going to be a good steward or not, and that's the one that faces each of us. The overarching principle of stewardship is found in Psalm 24:1. It's a passage that will be familiar to you. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So God is owner of everything that there is, including you and me. He owns it all. In Psalm 95, the psalmist says, "For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Now, back in mid-September, a few weeks ago, Marion and I visited the Grand Canyon National Park. And if you've never been, I highly recommend it. You won't be disappointed. Now, while we were there, we did many of the typical touristy things, like gazing in awe at the overlooks, which we did many times. We hiked some of the trails. We strolled along the rim. We filled our water bottles from the spring water faucets that they had available for your use. We sat on the benches. We looked in the scenery. We took it in. We ate at the restaurants. We had coffee each morning. We did all kinds of things while we were there. The park was there for our use and for us to enjoy. But at no point, I know I never thought at any point, of the park as being something that I owned. Now, I know some of you more technical people will say, yeah, but you really do own it because you pay taxes and it's owned by the federal government, so you do own it. No, blah, blah, blah. I don't own the national park. I don't own the Grand Canyon. It's there for my use, but I don't own it in the sense that I would own a car or a house or a coat or anything like that. And there's something that we need to grasp that reminds us of. And that is that we are really in a position for everything we have in life for it to just be on loan. Everything we have is actually on loan. Nothing really belongs to us in a permanent sense except our relationship with God and with fellow believers. Everything else will someday be gone. It will be gone, probably sooner than we realize or expect. Now, I just turned 62 recently. Thank you very much. And
I said thank you very much, but that's nice. So even if I live to the age of 90, which is no small feat, my life is already 70% over. 70% over. And if I could divide my life into 10 equal units, I've already used 7. That only leaves me 3. So I better get busy. In fact, I've been at Grace Church now for 24 and a half years. So of the 10 units that I have, I've used 3 of them just right here. Yikes. Kind of scary. Well, enough of that, or we're going to get depressed and sad. But you get the picture. And the picture is that God owns it all. He owns it all, and he just lets us use what he owns for a season. And then somebody else gets to use it for a season. So, there briefly, or I should say, briefly, there are 3 areas of stewardship: our time, our talent, and our treasure. I know that's not the news flash to any of you. The time we're given in which to be stewards, the talents and abilities that we have as stewards, and then the resources we get to use while stewards. But it all begins and ends with time. That's where it starts. Because without time, nothing else matters. Now think for a moment of a basketball game or a football game. When the final gun or the final whistle goes off, the game is over, right? It's over. It doesn't matter how good your team is, how many good players you have on your team. It doesn't matter if you're just about to score a goal. It doesn't matter if you want to keep playing. The game is over. It's over, and everybody leaves the court or leaves the field. Someday, every one of us is going to be out of time, just like in those sports. The buzzer's going to sound, the whistle's going to go off, the umpire is going to say game over, and it will be game over, and it will be done. That's going to happen for every one of us at some time, just like that football game or basketball game. Now, knowing this should not discourage us or depress us. It should motivate us. It should motivate us to get busy while we still have time to be stewards. Because someday you won't have any time left. You may still want to be a steward. You may get some fresh excitement about being a steward. And you may have all kinds of ideas about what you might be able to do as a steward, but you won't be able to because you won't have the time anymore. So it should motivate us to recognize we only have so much time. Let's get busy using it. Now, Jesus said words concerning himself, but really they apply to everyone. Here's what he said in John chapter 9. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Night will come. It's never a matter of if. It's always a matter of when. So what is the stewardship goal when it comes to time? What matters in our quest to be good stewards of time that God owns but loans to us for a season? And it's simply this. We want to make sure that we are as effective as we can be in the time God gives us. That's it. That's it. Does that make sense? We want to be effective in the time God gives us. We only have so much time, so we want to be effective and productive and fruitful in the time that we have. And that's what it means to be a good steward of our time. Now, next week, we'll see specifically how we do that. But there's a second area of stewardship that we as believers should be concerned about, and that second area is the stewardship of our talent. Now, I use the word talent because it rhymes with time, okay, and treasure. It's not deep. They just all begin with the same letter. But by talent, I mean abilities, gifts, capabilities, even capacities, but it includes talent, literally, as well. These are the things that God sovereignly gives us, and through using them, we fulfill the purpose that God has for us that will ultimately bring Him glory. God is glorified when we use the abilities that He's given us to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. And I don't mean just in the so-called spiritual realm, though the spiritual realm is an important role or important realm to consider, which is where our spiritual gifts come in, because spiritual gifts are God-given capacities for service. And though the service may not be spiritual in essence, it's still spiritual in purpose. Now, let me explain what I mean. Last week, we had 7 missionaries spend some time with us. Some of you were here both Sundays, got a chance to meet some of our missionaries and see about their work and all of that. But these missionaries are in various places, and they have various ministries among the people that God has called them to. Now, let's say you're not a missionary. You know, missionary is kind of like the quintessential, you know, they're real Christians because they sacrifice and they go to a place that no one else wants to go, and they're really committed. So we kind of put missionaries way up here on a pedestal and think they're kind of like super Christians. They're not like the rest of us. But the fact of the matter is missionaries just respond to God's call given their capabilities and their talents and their passions and their abilities and those kinds of things. So let's say that you're not a missionary, but you're a builder. Say that you're a builder. Well, you might travel to a place where our missionaries serve and there construct a building, maybe even a church building where people can worship, that's used by the people that these missionaries serve among. The building isn't spiritual per se, but it still has a spiritual purpose, and God is glorified through it. In fact, think about the building that we're in right now. What makes this building spiritual? What makes it holy? What makes it sanctified? It's because God's people worship here and serve here. But other than that, it's just a building like any other. Even the tabernacle and even the temple in the Old Testament were sacred and holy because of their use. They were just made with common earthly materials. So we should never think that our talent or our skill or our ability or our gift cannot be used to fulfill God's purpose. Whatever it is, it can, all of it can be used to honor and glorify God. We should remember that. We don't have to categorize like, oh, well, that's a spiritual talent or that's a spiritual ability. God can use any of it. It's a matter of whether we're willing. That's really the question. So what's the goal of stewardship of our talent? What would that look like? Well, it's expressed in 3 passages in the Bible pretty clearly and pretty simply. The first one is in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, the point of that verse is that we should be willing to serve no matter what gift we happen to have. That's really all it's saying. God's responsibility is to make sure we have a gift. He'll take care of that. Our responsibility is to make sure we use the gift that we have. That's our responsibility, and God won't take care of that. We have to respond. We have to be willing. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, the theme here is very similar. Don't get hung up on the gift that you have or the gift that you don't have. Preachers sometimes refer to it as gift envy. Oh, if I just had their gift, if I just had that gift and not the one that I have, I would be so much more effective and God would be so much happier with me. No, God gives you the gift He wants you to have and then ask that you use the gift to bring Him glory. The point is that we bring honor and glory to God in innumerable ways. But again, we just need to be willing. Romans 12, 7. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Different people have different gifts and different talents and different abilities and different capabilities than you do, than I do. And you know something? That's okay. In fact, it's better than okay. It's the way God prefers it. He prefers that we have different gifts among us. Now, why is that? Well, first, so we all feel needed. And we all feel that we have a purpose in the body. Now, just think about it. If everyone here had the exact same gift, what would that do to us as a church? We would just, everyone would be doing the same thing. So we might feel like, well, everyone's needed to do that one particular thing. But what about everything else that doesn't get done? You see, if you have a gift that's unique to you, you make a contribution that's unique to you. And it causes all of us to feel important and valuable and that we're making a contribution to the life of the body. So having different gifts than you have, that's a good thing. And you having a different gift than others is a good thing as well. So, our goal in stewardship of our time is to effectively use the time God has sovereignly given us, which is finite. It's limited. And it only lasts for a season. To use that time, to leverage that time, to manage that time so we're productive and effective and fruitful in its use for God's service. That's what stewardship of our time is about. Our goal in stewardship of our talent is to discover the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the capabilities that God has sovereignly entrusted to us. You have the gift God wants you to have. To use them to serve others for the glory of God. That's what stewardship of our talent looks like. But there's a third and final area of stewardship that the believer is called to steward or to manage, and that is our treasure. In a word, money. Thank you. Money. Now, you may know, you probably do, that Jesus spoke more about money and management of resources than he did about any other topic. Now, no doubt he had a number of reasons for that. Let me give you a few that I think he would have had for speaking so much about this topic. First, he knew that money and money management would easily trip us up. He knew that. He knew that we would get the money thing out of balance. We would be either way over here, spending way too much time, way too much focus, way too much energy thinking about money and everything involved in it, or we would be way over here and not think about it at all and cause ourselves serious financial detriment for not thinking about it at all. But he knew there would be a tendency to gravitate to one extreme or the other. So he taught about it a lot. He knew that money would always have, for most people, not everyone, but the vast majority of people, money would have a high potential for being an idol in our lives, where we would look to money as our answer for everything or most things. He knew that we'd worry about money rather than being a good steward of our money. Get us down, bog us down. It discourages us, causes stress, and all those kinds of things. He knew that we'd have a tendency to put or to trust money rather than God. He knew that. I always thought it was ironic that on our money it says, in God we trust. You know, that might seem strange. He knew that money would be an inescapable part of our entire lives. You couldn't escape the need to think about money, even if you wanted to. It's just part of life on earth. So what's the goal for stewardship of our money? The goal is to use money that God has entrusted to our care and manage it so it provides leverage in its use of it. Remember, money has no intrinsic value. You realize that, right? I mean, if you have a $20 bill on you right now, and if you took it out and you look at it, you know, it's just a piece of paper. That's all it is. Now, modern money is pretty, I have to give it that. And it's got nice design and it's very stylish and that type of thing. But money per se has no intrinsic value. You've probably heard about the hikers who were stranded up in the mountains in the wintertime and it got really cold. And they needed to start a fire. And they used their money. They all took money out of their wallets and purses and they burned their money to get the fire going. So, you know, that's not really the purpose of money. It did fulfill that purpose. But money intrinsically has no value. It has value only because we assign it value. Our society says a $20 bill is worth $20. So if you go to the store and something says $20, you give them a $20 bill and they'll give you that particular item. So, you know, we go to the store, we give money to the cashier, and they take the money in exchange for a product. You've done this before, right? Yeah. And the reason they do, they're not just being nice. The reason that they give you the product for the money is because they know their employer is going to give them some money for doing that, and then they're going to be able to exchange the money for something they want or something they need. Money just represents potential for exchanging it for what you need or want. When someone has a lot of money, they have lots of potential options for exchanging it. And when you don't have very much money, you have very few options for exchanging it for what you need or want. So what is good stewardship when it comes to money? How do we do it in a way that we maximize the potential for our use and for God's glory? How do we leverage it? Well, it begins by knowing the things you can do with money. There aren't that many. There are five. And that's pretty much it. I know you know the first one. Yeah, you can spend it. You can save it. That's our favorite thing to do, right? And thirdly, you can invest it, right? You can invest it, or you can share it, give it away, yes. And then fifthly, I'm really confused now. You can borrow it, exactly. Yeah. So you can spend it, save it, invest it, borrow it, or give it away. And you'll find that the other things you can do are just derivatives of those five. Well, that's a good financial word to use, isn't it? Right. So next week, we'll see what the Bible says about each of these areas, and it does say plenty about it. None of them are complicated, but it's important to understand them and know about them. So the goal of stewardship of our time is to use the time that God gives us sovereignly, right? It's His time. He doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us a minute. So if you have time today, as you, I trust you will, it's because God has given it to you sovereignly. He's chosen to give it to you. And our challenge, our calling, is to be productive and fruitful in the ways we use it to accomplish God's purposes and bring Him glory. Is that clear? I mean, isn't that crystal clear? Maybe not. Okay, that's stewardship of our time. The goal of stewardship of our talent is to find out what our abilities, our capabilities, our gifts, and all those things that God gave us, and then use them in service to others to bring God glory. Okay? So we have time, we're to be productive and fruitful to God's glory, and we have talent, gifts and abilities that we're to use to accomplish purposes that bring God glory. The goal of stewardship of our treasure is to manage the money God entrusted to our care, whether it's a lot or a little or something in between, in a way that allows us to buy the things we need and some of the things that we want in ways that bring glory to God. So, with that overview, next time we'll look at each of the areas in greater depth and look at some practical ways to implement them. Now, Lord willing, I'll be here. So, will you be here too? Yeah, if you have the time, never mind. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to explore an area that is of immense practical value to each one of us. We all only have so much time, and we want to use it well. We all have gifts and abilities. Some have more than others. Some have different gifts and abilities than others. But any of them can be used to advance your purposes and bring you glory. And we all are called to be good stewards of our material treasure. The money that you've allowed to come into our care and given us the privilege and the opportunity to manage it in a way that accomplishes your purposes and brings you glory through it. So help us to focus for a couple of weeks on this important subject. Teach us what we need to know and how we need to live it out faithfully and consistently, that we might be good stewards. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.